John chapter 20 says that the risen Jesus appears to his disciples on Sunday evening. I have a lot of really good memories of Sunday evenings when I was a kid. I remember Sunday evening, still back then, used to be a time for visiting relatives. A lot of you will remember that as well, that Sunday evening was a time after church was over and after homework was done and that sort of thing, that we would go to grandparents' house or aunts and uncles' houses, and it was a time for visiting with friends and relatives. I also remember that Sunday evening was time for confirmation when I reached about 12 years old. And my church was a church that was a neighborhood church. It was at the end of a dead-end street, so I knew most of the kids in my confirmation class and where their homes were. And we used to get together outside of confirmation as well. Sunday evenings was also family dinner. It was the one day of the week that you could be assured that you were going to have to eat with the proper silverware or eat at the big people's table instead of the card table. You ate until you were stuffed, and you knew that you were going to have soup and salad and bread and dessert and a full big meal. But my favorite memory, or the memory that really sticks in my mind about Sunday evening, was that Sunday evening was about silence. And I don't know if that's changed or not, but for some reason, when I think back to my childhood and remember Sunday evening, I remember Sunday evening being kind of quiet. Whether it was because it was before Monday started and everything got back to work, or the fact that we lived on the same dead-end road as the church, and my bedroom looked out on a park where there was no cars and things like that, and Sunday evening everything sort of hushed down and quieted down. But my main memory of Sunday evening, for some reason, is silence, is that moment when everything is just taking a breath and slowing down and relaxing before everything starts again for the rest of the week. And it's perhaps there that I learned to appreciate the silence of prayer and God. There are famous verses, "Be still and know that I am God," from Psalm 46, verse 10. Or the verse here in John chapter 20, verse 21, that where Jesus says, "Peace be with you," where I experienced that peace. And I imagine in my mind that Easter evening, that first Easter, when the disciples are all gathered together in the upper room and they've got the door locked because they're afraid that they might get arrested and that they might find themselves hanging on a cross, the same fate that happened to their Lord, I imagine that that room was a quiet room. I imagine that if the disciples were afraid of being found out, not only were the doors locked, but everybody probably spoke in hushed tones. They were whispering together. I would imagine that Peter had the most amazing and confusing day of his life. He woke up at dawn and ran to the tomb, only to find the tomb was empty and the grave clothes had been folded up and Jesus was gone. And he spent the rest of the day trying to figure out what that actually meant, trying to compute in his head what it meant that Jesus' body was no longer in the tomb. And as the sun sets on this most important day in human history, this Easter Sunday 2,000 years ago, make no mistake, I believe the disciples were silent because they were confused, that this was a lull because they were wondering what would they do next. Do they go back home to Galilee and take up fishing again? Do they report this strange understanding that Jesus' body is no longer in the tomb, but we don't exactly know what that means? What are we supposed to do now, in other words? What will happen next? Part of that silence and confusion, I'm sure, was because of the terrible week they had just endured. Jesus went into the temple, overthrew the money changers. They had argument after argument with the religious authorities. Jesus was tried as a false prophet. They set up a kangaroo court to try him, and he was whipped and beat and mocked, and finally he dies on a cross. And so that they're trying to figure out. What exactly did all that mean? And now on Sunday night, they have to be asking themselves, really, there's another chapter? The tomb was empty and Jesus was not there. But what does that really mean? And I'm just exhausted from trying to figure that out. I'm sure the disciples felt like they were at the end of their rope. Yet into this locked room, where the disciples are scared to take even their next breath, Jesus appears miraculously. The doors are locked. Jesus appears and he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you." It's remarkable to me that Jesus comes in and first thing he says is, "Peace be unto you." Because that signifies to me that silence, that sense of comfort, that sense of being in the eye of the storm, and things are okay. But then he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." It's almost as if Jesus is saying, "Get ready, because this story hasn't even really started yet. Get ready and take that deep breath to jump into the water." I remember Jennifer and I, we had the privilege of going to Turkey in the year 2000. Turkey is where the Gospel of John was supposedly written. And I remember that it was a cold April day, and we had the chance to climb down the steps and bathe, swim in the Mediterranean. Well, in April, the Mediterranean is still awful cold. And I remember several of our group said, "How many chances are you going to get to bathe in the Mediterranean?" Which was true. They said this might be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So I ran down the steps to the rocky beach, jumped into the Mediterranean, and there's that cold moment where you take that deep breath, that gasping deep breath, and all your body soon becomes numb. That's sort of what Jesus is saying here. As the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you out into those cold waters. I'm sending you out into the waters of ministry. And that's exactly what happens. The disciples start to go out. Jesus sends Peter out. Peter goes out into the temple and starts preaching, healing people. Stephen is stoned to death because he preaches about Jesus. The disciples are thrown out of synagogues. They go out into all these miraculous places and they meet encounter after encounter trouble. Because the risen Jesus, after he says, "Peace be with you, I'm going to send you out the same way as the Father has sent me." And we know that Jesus met his end, his earthly end, on a cross. And Jesus makes an amazing and complete demand on his disciples. He says, "You're going to experience the same tough road that I had." So it's no wonder that Thomas doubts. Who wants to hear on Easter Sunday evening, "As the Father has sent me, and as I was rejected, and as I was humiliated, I'm sending you out as well." God the Father sent Jesus to rejection and humiliation and cross and the death itself. And only after all that does God the Father send us Easter. So this morning, let's not forget what being sent by Jesus really means. What Jesus sending us out really means. Because there is a world out there that is rough. And Jesus knows it. There's violence in Afghanistan and Syria. There's famine in Africa. Closer to home, there's violence in our own streets, shootings in restaurants or gated communities. You only have to pick up the paper to read about tragedies and troubles. Yet the Easter message is strange because it's so realistic. I don't know about you, but I want for Easter the nice images of Easter lilies and Easter eggs and bonnets and all that kind of stuff. I think that's important and I think that's really powerful and great for Easter. But Jesus doesn't keep us there. "As the Father sent me, now I'm sending you out." He doesn't want us to stay here. He wants us to move out. And the peace that Jesus sends us is not a get away from it all kind of peace. Sitting on a mountaintop like one of those gurus and waiting for somebody to come to you. A hiding from conflict kind of peace. But it's a real peace that you can find in the busyness of 9-to-5 workaday worlds. It's a real peace that you can find when you are depressed or harried or humiliated, or you feel like you're at the end of your rope, because that's what the disciples experienced as well. This is a real and valid peace, which is valid in the presence of people who rub us the wrong way, or family, or friends. It's peace in conflict, peace in pain, peace in sickness, peace in suffering. And that's why it's important for us to remember today that Easter itself is not one day in the church. Easter is a season. It says up here, second Sunday in Easter. Easter is the season that the risen Jesus walked with the disciples. So it goes from Easter Sunday until 40 days later, as long as Lent, until Jesus ascends back to heaven to live with God the Father. And that Easter is a season where the risen Jesus walked with his disciples and taught them, side by side with them. So it is important, vitally important, that we sing those Easter songs during this Easter season, because the power of Jesus' peace is ever and always valid. The power of Jesus' peace is even louder this week than it was last week. Jesus is sending us out into the world no matter what trouble we find. Because even if we run into trouble, we also know that we will meet Jesus there. Amen.